Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? JP Finley here. We are doing an episode of Redskins Talk, the podcast. We are on the road, so this could be kind of interesting. Mitch Tischler, local celebrity, photographer extraordinaire, is driving this vehicle. Say what's up.
What's up, people?
Guest appearance from at DC Sports Blog. Dan Steinberg's also in the car with us.
From the back seat.
He's in the back seat, so I'm going to have to hold our recording device.
Yeah, scream into the podcast.
You'll have to scream.
We're plugging Twitter handles. It's at Mitch underscore Tischler.
Ooh.
T-I-S-C-H-L-E-R. Just throwing that out there, people.
Did you get to 1,000 yet?
I think so.
All right. If not, follow Tischler. So, we were just having a conversation, and this is why we decided to do a podcast. We just left Philadelphia. We're on 95 South. And my first question for Steins, did Kirk Cousins have a good game today in a win over the Eagles?
And what I said was good enough. I think he missed some throws. The interception was brutal in a terrible part of the field, a terrible part of the game, right? I mean, he can't make that throw.
Cannot. And they're going, if they go on a nice drive there, they take a 2-score lead and the game is over.
Right.
That good teams end those games.
I would agree with all of that, but at the same time, he did drive them for a game-winning touchdown, even if he didn't do a lot of the work on that drive.
The Crowder was nice.
Yeah, and people tell me all the time, oh, he doesn't come up in the clutch. He's been actually pretty good when they've needed him late in the fourth quarter of some of these games. And then you look at, I mean, we're talking about Russell Wilson throwing 5 picks. Like, good quarterbacks do throw interceptions.
Yes.
I think he was good enough.
For the year, is he now at, what is it, TDs to picks? I don't know if you have stats.
I don't know, but he's over 4,000 yards, and he's probably going to break the franchise career, like a franchise single season passing mark next week.
Well, isn't it his record?
Didn't he set that record last week? Right, but he's going to break it in his 14th game this year.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly pile up yards. I think Kirk played pretty well. You want to say pretty good or good enough, whatever term you went with.
I liked some of those runs he had. He had a couple of crucial runs.
There was one that I was impressed that he knew to just take off, because there's been times where he tries to buy more time behind the line of scrimmage so we can throw it. I want to say it was probably the fourth quarter, because they were coming our direction in the press box, and he just took
ran
off
around the right side.
Yeah, and went out of bounds. Tischler, what say you? Did Cousins play well?
I think Cousins played well. It's hard to give Kirk a hard time about it because he's so good at not taking sacks. But in that second quarter particularly, there were a couple plays where he took a sack, and one in particular where he had Pierre running wide open down the field, and he kind of double clutched on the pass. But we've been kind of spoiled. He's been putting up some big numbers the past month, you know, and even beyond that, obviously, with the passing yard numbers. So I think we've been kind of spoiled, but he played well enough to win.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Joe B will tell you that's the only thing that matters, scoring one more point than the opponent. I think Kirk played pretty well, and I agree. We've gotten accustomed to 350 out of him, 350 yards. So when he's held under 300, it almost seems like a subpar effort. But that's a pretty lofty goal to kind of set anyway.
You think about, like, I think there was one pass to Vernon Davis in the end zone in the first half.
He sailed that. But he sailed that one, and that was the second down. The third down didn't go well, and that was when Hopkins missed the kick. What was the third down play? Was that a screen that they snuffed out, maybe?
That was the third down when they wound up going for the fourth down.
Oh. Well, regardless.
He also had on that two-point conversion, the pass to Jordan. He kind of sidearmed and slinged it low. I don't know how much he was getting pressured on that.
And even the deep ball to DJX, he had the distance, but it wasn't totally on target. I mean, that's a catch that only maybe a handful of receivers in the league make. That's DeSean Jackson being spectacular there. Right. That wasn't a perfect throw.
So, who gets your game ball coming out of this win, Steins?
Is it obvious, Mitch? You raised your hand, so it was a dumb question.
I mean, oh no, well, no dumb questions.
Mitch just thinks I'm dumb, so.
That's fair. I think your game ball has to go to Kerrigan, right? I mean, the sack fumble to end the game doesn't really matter what else happened the rest of the game. The defense has had its issues in the last 2 minutes, and to come up with a play like that at that time in the game, at the 20-yard line or so, pretty game ball worthy in my mind.
Okay, I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson. I think
I'm going DeSean too, yeah.
Oh, you're supposed to...
All right, well, you go ahead, dude. I'll come up with somebody else.
It's in that stadium. It kind of just puts the exclamation mark on the fact that the Redskins have owned the Eagles lately. I think this is 5 straight for the first time since the mid-80s, right?
And Cousins in particular has owned the Eagles.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, it just was a remarkable personal skill for him to track that ball and to turn his body the way he did, and then he just has the speed to... it's just a weapon that not many guys on this team have. I think it's a remarkable play, and it totally turned the game at a point. At that point, you still figured the Redskins were playing from behind for most of the game. And then,
totally.
Speaking of DJX, real quick, I don't know if after the long touchdown, the fans in the stands were chanting at him, "Come home." They were yelling at him. He was playing up to the fans, kind of raising his arms, getting them lathered up a little bit. But throughout the day, like, security guards and stadium personnel and whatnot, whenever they walk by a DeSean, they're like, "When are you coming home, man? When are you coming home?"
Wow.
They're pushing hard. That was definitely whatever that story was that broke last week, definitely piqued Philly's interest.
Yeah. You know, it's a question that we've been talking about all year. Who would you choose if you could choose one between Garcon and...
To me, it's very obvious.
I mean, there's been times this year where I've said Garcon has he's just got the toughness, and he's got that drive and the fire, and he can get you the big third down conversion, but man, there's not many guys that can flip a game like that.
No. And that's 3 weeks in a row now DeSean's getting deep, so things are finally starting to click for him and Kirk. How about Trent coming back? Played well. I mean... You know, it's a good game for Trent when you don't really hear his name, but they ran the ball effectively, and he's such a leader for them. And with Ari Quandjo next to you, I think he probably made Ari look a lot better.
Well, I think it's interesting. They switched 40% of their offensive, I guess 60% of their offensive line from last week.
Yeah.
Spencer Long being out and Sean LeBow being out. And you didn't really notice that. I mean, you didn't notice that there was an issue on the offensive line. That could have been a major story.
So
after that Chris Thompson touchdown... where
Trent
led the way.
Trent was killing people.
So the D-linemen were sitting around, and they were talking on the bench, kind of, I don't know if it was right after that, at some point. And they were like, "Man, that's a business decision. If you look up and you see Trent Williams coming at you full speed, it's a business decision. And I don't care what part of the game it is. I don't know if I'm," they're saying, "I don't know if I'm the guy that's going to take on Trent full speed." So
that's awesome.
He's definitely that dude.
That's like you're the defender on the break and LeBron's coming. And, like, you really want to be on that poster?
Right.
Oh, I'm kind of mad we're doing the podcast right now because we're going over the Tidings Bridge. And Mitch loves Tidings, and I wanted him to lecture Steinberg about it.
I love Melody Tidings. He's a great man. Great American.
We're not going to bore the listeners with that. Question. Jordan Reed had what? One catch? Two targets? Is that about right?
One catch, 10 yards.
And he didn't play all that much. He was, and we kind of knew that, like, they're not going to put him out there in running situations and stuff. If he's going to be that limited, is it worth getting him more rest?
I think that he probably, and I would need to watch the film and probably watch it with someone who knows a little bit more than I do, but I think he probably changes the way the defense has to approach you when he is on the field. I mean, I think that would be the hope by putting him out there. You notice that a lot of the regular targets didn't do much of anything because Vernon Davis didn't do much either, and Crowder had, what, two catches maybe?
Yeah, I mean, but the one was big.
The one was big, but it was kind of a different version of this offense.
Who led them in catches then? Pierre?
Must have been Pierre, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think between the three of us, one of us would have, like, a stat sheet. Right, or you're on your phone, too. Like, you can pull up the stats.
Fine.
Steins is on his phone just on Twitter.
Well, the people who are listening probably have a stat sheet in front of them.
That's true.
The thing about Jordan being out there, though, which, while he does change the way defenses had to cover, it's also a telltale sign that they're going to be throwing the ball.
Yeah.
When he's limited like that, and you're only going to put him out there for, what, maybe a 30% of the plays, whatever it is, it's a telltale sign.
How about Kirk Cousins only having 14 completions?
I'm telling you, like, think about it. We're naming these guys that only have a couple catches.
Sure,
like
someone with five and DeShaun Jackson with three. And no
hey,
one
Rob Kelly had two.
Yeah.
Yeah, is the Rob Kelly can't catch myth kind of over now?
I still don't think he has great hands. I mean, he had a couple catches. He's real shifty with his feet.
What was his line? What was Kelly's line, Dan?
16 for 63 rushing with a touchdown, but...
What's that?
16 for 63.
What's the YPC on that?
A little bit under four.
Okay.
But he also had one for 22, so...
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He had one of those, like, classic no-gain runs where you're like, wow, that was one of the greatest no-gain runs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He should have
always
dropped,
has
like,
those,
a four
man.
Or five-yard loss. Yeah, I think regularly was making 3 or 4 yards more than he probably should have.
And I was sitting next to B-Mitch for the game, which was really cool having him at the stadium. I hope people that watched our air enjoyed that. I enjoyed it sitting next to him. And he gave me a ride to the stadium, which was pretty nice too. But I have no idea what I was about to say. He kept saying about Rob Kelly how impressed he is that he always falls forward. And it's one thing when we say that, but to hear Brian say it to me carries a little more weight. The other dude that they just got to involve more is Chris Thompson. You saw it today with the TD. He's just such a player for them.
That was a bizarre third down play right before they picked up the fourth down on that last drive, on the last offensive drive.
Dude, how do you, if you're like going to go for it on fourth down, run on third.
But what was it? It was like a weird circle. Like they had Chris Thompson circle back behind Kirk.
Yeah.
In
and
motion.
That was out of a timeout, wasn't
it?
It
was,
yeah.
They also took a timeout after that play.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that was a situation where they were costing themselves any chance if they didn't get that fourth down.
Right.
Right.
And I mean, how long would that kick have been? I kind of thought
53.
That's and Hop had already missed. What was his miss? Like a 45?
38.
Ooh.
The miss was 38 on that side of the field.
Do
so
we
want to
talk Hopkins?
I like the kid.
Yeah, I know he's such a nice dude.
I do too. And I wrote a column on how they finally found their kicker. They've changed kickers more than any team in the NFL over the last couple of decades, and he's great on kickoffs too. He seemed last year like he had a talent for onside kicks, although we saw a pretty bad one from him this year.
Yeah,
but I also think that kickoff thing is one of those things that's big in his favor. There are enough guys that aren't good. He has his directional kickoffs pretty well, where he pops it up to the five, and he pops up to the 5 yard line or puts it out of the end zone.
Yeah.
You also hope that, I mean, it's been talked about ad nauseum, but all the good Redskins kickers that they've cut and have gone on elsewhere and
had good careers.
Hope, you know, you want them to have a little patience, but it's certainly got to be wearing thin to some extent.
Yeah. I mean, certainly with fans. But, like, the folks on Twitter want everybody fired and every player cut. So, you know, it's good that the team will be insulated away from social media vitriol, I guess.
Can I bring up a topic, too? I think that the turnovers were so huge in this game. And I think that I was looking at my buddy Grant Paulson, our buddy Grant Paulson, said that I think they're now 5-0 when they forced at least two turnovers.
And they hadn't forced one. Well, it's obvious that's that. But Dallas and Arizona, they didn't create anything.
Yeah, I mean, so much of that is random, but two huge ones at that part of the field where the Eagles looked like they were going to score. The first one, the Chasers.
That's a huge pick.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles looked like they were going to just seize control of that game entirely. And that never happened. And then the one at the end, I mean, who knows if they're going to score there. It's a tough situation for them with no timeouts. But to end it like there, if they can turn the ball over, it can cover some of their weaknesses.
Quick tangent. We just passed the Cal Ripken baseball field thing. You guys ever been there?
No, we should just...
I want to go.
Oh, I've been. It's cool.
I've been there for
high
school
players. Is it cool?
Yeah. It's going for summer league wood bat baseball.
Nice.
I can't believe you haven't been there for the all-you-can-eat crab.
That's what I want to do. Yeah, it's like every Sunday or something at games.
They do an all-you-can-eat crab fest.
Really? Do you eat crabs, Dan?
No, but I love the way they smell.
So no meat, no fish, nothing?
I'll occasionally eat like some salmon or something like that.
Okay.
This is of great interest to our listeners.
I know.
I think we should just narrate the entire 95.
the 95 corridor.
You can tell them what you're looking at out the window.
I will say that if you do decide to expand, crabs are a great place to go. They're incredible.
I like being part of the crab fest. I like the macaroni, the corn on the cob that you usually have with it.
Yeah.
I love the smells. I love the...
It's usually drinking beers involved,
yes.
Which I know you enjoy.
Watching people get the gunk all over their hands. Old Bay, it's all good.
Yeah.
All except for the crab bar.
Now this is making me want to eat crabs.
You only eat them in the summer, I guess? You don't eat crabs in the winter, right?
No, not really. Because you got to kind of be outside or your whole house is going to stink.
Right.
And if you're going to get them locally anyway, the fall is actually the best time for, like, real Chesapeake crabs.
But you get to the winter and they're all small and expensive.
Well, I don't think you're allowed to
harvest
crab in the winter. I think the season ends at a certain point.
There you go. That explains why they're expensive.
We've gone deep on this. But I think half the time you're getting them from Louisiana or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
Defensively, back to football. Defensively, the Redskins were a mess in the first half. Now, you, Dan Steinberg, contend that you think they played okay because they only gave up 16 points.
Well, I was kind of joking a little bit. But, I mean, you do have to say that. I mean, when it comes down to it, they kept a mediocre offense to a mediocre point total. You know, it was largely because of those two turnovers. They were a huge help, but, I mean, that's what you want them to do. This is not going to be the strength of the team, and you want a situation where if the offense scores 20 points, you win the game, and they did that for you.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
Yeah, no, I'm nodding.
They gave up a lot of yards.
Dude, they were just getting gashed in that first half. Like, I mean, the Eagle, third. It wasn't even one of those situations where we're all screaming about third downs because they were getting first down on second down. You know, like
I think the third downs were bad too, though.
The third downs were. Dude, I know early when I was keeping track of it, they got to like 6 of 9, I think.
The third downs were bad. The fourth downs.
Right.
How many fourth down opportunities did the Eagles go for?
And how
just
obvious
no
is it? Right. That they're just go
no respect.
Now the long snapper thing made it pretty unique.
Yes.
But
they're fourth and ones and fourth and twos,
right?
You know, at not even in plus field position. I mean,
right.
They were at their own 40 and going for it. And yes, the snapper thing was a caveat. But man,
the thing about the defense is that probably all of us in this van or whatever kind of vehicle we're in, and everyone who's watching the game,
it's a Honda Pilot, an Oarsman Honda Pilot.
Sorry, I think
this is not a van. I drive one of these too. I'm fighting with my wife about buying a van.
Yeah, I think the point about the defense is we all assume that that is what's going to keep this team from going deep into the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? It feels like a first-round team because of the defense.
Right, and I kind of think we knew that in August, in a way. You know, it was like you hope the defense can outperform expectations, but that's one of the things, and we were talking about your colleague Jerry Brewer's column on Joe Barry, right? Like, it really is hard to judge him because the defense lacks horses in a lot of spots. You know, they.
You know what surprised me though is I thought, and I think I wrote this also incorrectly, I thought that they had a lot of really good cornerbacks on this team. I thought Breland was like a
dude in
1A
the
cornerback.
In the preview thing that you did, that you like got a lot of different media people to give you like a paragraph.
Yeah.
My prediction, which all of it looks pretty good minus this part. I said they'd go 8-8, miss the playoffs because they couldn't stop the run. But I said, but Bashaud Breland makes the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's not trending that way.
No.
I thought that Kendall Fuller was going to be great. I thought like Greg Toler might contribute.
I don't know why they don't let... Yo, like today...
What is going on with Greg Toler?
I liked that today they let Everett play. Like, let Toler play. See what you got, man.
And I thought that Quentin Dunbar, after what we saw last year with the position switch, I thought that he would kind of take a step this year.
He was
like,
getting targeted early, man.
And, like, Norman's done, I think, just about everything you could ask of him.
Yeah,
still
he's great.
Quarterback is not a strength of this team.
Well, I think Bree having the year he's having is a big part of that because they thought they'd have kind of shut down guys on both sides.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted... I can't remember who it was. It was funny. In game, I saw it. Maybe it was Rick Snyder. The Raiders are really going to get good use out of Bashaud Breland.
That's pretty good.
Hopefully, it was Snyder marks. Otherwise, I'm sorry. Apologies to whoever I'm not crediting properly on Twitter.
But circling back to the playoff thing, the Cowboys' defense doesn't have as many holes as the Redskins does, but their offense is so good that they are able to cover up for that defense.
Right.
If Kirk gets hot,
right.
You know, if Kirk starts playing like 2015 Kirk at the end of the season, you know, you can make up for a defense that isn't shut down or gives up a lot of yards.
Well, think about the Packers game, which was Kirk hot. The defense gave up 24 points in that thing.
Yeah.
And Skins won easy because they threw up 40.
Although, you know what we probably should mention? Will Compton and Sue Cravens both getting hurt today.
Yeah.
What was the severity of either of those? Certainly
Will
we don't know yet.
Right.
Will
did you talk? Were you there for Compton postgame?
No, I saw his comments, though. He seemed optimistic.
Yeah. But that's also just who he is. He's a guy that, like, he, at least in all my conversations with him, he seems the type of dude to always, like, find the bright side of things. Because he was saying, he's like, it's none of the major ligaments, which I'm guessing ACL, MCL, I'm no doctor. But he said it could be a PCL, which, again, I'm no doctor. But if you hurt your PCL, you're probably missing some time.
Because it's troublesome how quickly they ruled him out of this game for me.
Right.
And he said he heard a pop, which that's what you never want to hear.
Yeah.
But he also was on the sideline the whole game in uniform without shoulder pads on.
I didn't even think he was limping.
Walking around. That's what I was going to say. Pretty able-bodied. Now, you hear all the time about ACLs torn and people, you know, play through it or they're able to walk around. It's no issue. So, who knows?
But Craven's there, though. There's no one on the defense that can do things that he can do in terms of being a playmaker.
Not to speculate too much, but I'm going to speculate. With a bicep injury, typically it's a bruise. You know, I mean, there's not a heck of a lot you can do to the bicep without it's either hurt or torn, generally. I guess you could strain it.
I can tell you, seeing him down in the medical area around halftime, a strain would be certainly best case scenario in my mind. I mean, he wasn't holding his arm in a manner in which he normally walks around.
He had a big sling.
It was like immobilized. Is that the word?
Yeah. Demobilized. Yeah.
It was not mobile.
It was not whatever.
And he looked sharp. He was kind of pulling it off because he had like a black suit on, yeah. And then the sling was black, so it like kind of looked cool as
pulling
much.
Pulling it off as in making it work, not actually trying to pull the sling off.
No. Like I don't think young men should try to wear slings. That shouldn't be like the new cool thing. But then again, what do I know?
Did you see Cam's outfit today?
I did. What was... Is that like a scarf? What was that called on his neck?
A cravat, maybe? Is it a cravat?
See, Stein's is getting smart on us.
I know.
Soon enough, we're going to be talking cheese and wine and stuff.
You know, it didn't occur to me, and it should have occurred to me, but it didn't occur to me that Josh Norman Panthers Week starts now, or Panthers 8 Days starts now, and it's going to be a massive story, and, you know, with Cam,
I forgot, especially they suck, and...
Have nothing else to talk about.
Right. I mean, it's not only Josh, but it's part losing him is a big part of it.
And, am I wrong? Are Josh and Cam not that tight?
I think there was an interesting thing over the summer, right? He, like, crashed his camp and, like, tried to interview him.
That's right.
There was something weird.
And there was also some kind of tension about him saying that the team wanted to promote Cam over him.
Right.
He wasn't the star of
the team. With all the Cam, and I guess there's always Cam stories going around, but... Particularly the whole tie thing and whatnot.
So,
I mean,
because of the tie thing, is that why he was wearing that cravat? Do you think?
I gotta look up and see if the cravat's the right word.
Let's just hope it's not like a bad word. Listeners, if cravat's a bad word, we don't mean it like that. Whatever it means.
I wonder if that's covered in the Panthers' style guide.
Yeah,
you know, does that count as a scarf? Is that okay?
Lame. Like. To me, if you're dressed well but not wearing a tie, like, come on, man. To me, that's just like a Ron Rivera botch.
I don't know. This is what a cravat looks like. These are like cravats. I don't know if that's not really what it was, I guess.
Yo, that's like what George Washington wore.
Like the
ruffles
that's
and
not
stuff?
Isn't that an ascot?
No, yeah.
An ascot was a hat.
No, ascot's that's definitely offense. Like the scarf type thing. But, what made Cam's interesting was that it, like, went east-west, not north-south. Like, it was going over his shoulder. That could have just been some weird angle, that's all. Regardless, the Panthers suck. All right, so...
Maybe that was more of an ascot. No, I guess he was really just wearing, like, a handkerchief, probably.
So far, we've gone deep on crabs and cravats.
If we had Tandler on, would he know the answer?
For our listeners, Tandler and I are still going to record our normal Monday podcast tomorrow, so I'll be sure to ask him about cravats, see what kind of answer I get. Dan, did we tell you
Tandler, the vet,
about cravats?
Yeah.
What, you think
he's a Virginian. Who knows what's going to come out of his mouth?
He's a very proud Virginian.
Right.
He Patrick Henry means a lot to him and stuff. You know what I mean? Like the state house. Like, I don't have a lot of...
Maryland pride.
Like, do you know who founded Maryland?
I do. George Calvert.
Of course. Right. And Lord Baltimore.
Yeah, Lord Baltimore. Is George Calvert Lord Baltimore?
No. Two different people.
What's Lord Baltimore's name?
Word.
We're derailing. All right.
We're demobilizing.
Yeah, we are. Things are falling apart here. Mitch Tischler, 3 games left. What's the Skins' record in the remaining 3 games, and do they make the playoffs?
So remaining games, we have, we end the season with the Giants at Chicago on Christmas and Monday night against the Panthers.
That was back to front, yeah.
Yeah, you went a weird way on that.
I went backwards. It's okay. They're all wins. All wins in my book. I think they go 3-0.
So that you have them closing 4-0 to get to 10 wins.
Closing 4-0, 10 wins, number 6 playoff spot.
Who do they play?
We mentioned it earlier, but I think Dan said the possibility that the Lions could hop the Seahawks for the number 2 spot. So I'm going to go ahead and think that they're going to go out to Seattle for a little rematch of, what was that, 2009?
That was like a couple times. Yeah.
2007. Yeah, that was
one. 2007.
Yeah.
What do we eat in Seattle? Salmon? Sushi?
Fish.
Fish. All right.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
Oh, I got some good restaurants in Seattle.
All right.
It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite trips. Great beer.
All right. Let's. I'd be cool. I don't want to go back to Detroit.
I don't want to go back to Detroit. That's. I agree.
Dan Steinberg, 3 games left. What's their record, and do they make the playoffs?
Well, I said going into the final 4 game stretch, I thought they were going to go 3-1 and finish 9-6-1 and get the last wild card, which I guess I'll still say. But I don't know which game they're going to lose. I don't know which of those games they're going to lose. Maybe at this point, maybe the Panthers game to me seems the most likely. And I don't know how they're going to find a way to lose to the Panthers. But I say 9-6-1, and yeah, I think that's a playoff. I think that's a playoff berth. Although it could get tricky here. Honestly, I wouldn't have thought this, but there is a way that they could go 9-6-1 for sure and miss the playoffs. But I'll say that they get the 6th seed.
Okay, who are they playing?
I don't have their schedules in front of me, but I don't see Seattle dropping a 3, even if they are after this week. So I'll say that they play Detroit.
Oh, God, please no.
Killing us.
No, Detroit in October sucked. Detroit in January is just not a good scenario.
Oh, with Matthew Stafford hurt, who knows? Atlanta and Tampa Bay would also be in
but
play.
But he's so playing, right?
Playing, but hurt. But, okay. Yeah, I think that Atlanta and Tampa Bay could, either of them could still pass the line.
Tampa is as far as J.P. Finley's playoff game power rankings, Tampa's the 1 seed. Tampa in January sounds pretty nice. I think Green Bay, if it's possible, would be cool to go to Lambeau for a playoff game. I'll deal with the cold because Lambeau is cool. And then Seattle would be cool. I'm cool with Atlanta.
How would you choose between Atlanta and Detroit? You take Atlanta over Detroit?
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed Atlanta.
That's close.
You think?
I love Atlanta. Aside from the cities being the cities that they are, Ford Field is nice.
Whatever. I liked the Georgia Dome.
The Georgia Dome is a dump.
I liked it.
It's a dump.
I liked it. Well, whatever. Tish thinks
we
it's a
also
dump.
Deal stadiums in a much different fashion.
Right.
And we can say that for another podcast.
Also, just so all of our listeners know, Mitch wore shorts today, and he was on the field the whole time, and it's one of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen. You're going to get, like, a cold. It was 32 degrees all day.
The Packers playoff game last year?
That was an oddly warm day, though.
So, the day was warm. The game, by game time, it was, like, 35 degrees. It was one of those special DC days where it drops 20 degrees
right.
A few hours. But the quick story was I was in shorts. One of the other cameramen was in, Mike D, was in full-on winter clothing garb. He proceeded to get bronchitis and was sick for like a month and a half, and I was perfectly fine. His girlfriend then proceeded to hold a grudge that it was somehow my fault that Mike got sick. But again, that's...
Dude, now we're all over the place here.
We're all over the place.
Can you tell it's been a long day? We've all been working since like 8 a.m. My prediction, this is one of those weird situations. When they had the 4-game win streak before the bye, I remember doing a podcast then, maybe with you, Dan, or I don't know who it was with, maybe Chandler, and I said, you know, I don't think they're going to, what was the thought, that they could get to the bye week at 6-2, right? Because they had like, and I was like, it's just not going to happen. They're going to lose at least one of these games. And the flip side was, well, they're better than these teams. So I think the Skins are certainly better than the Panthers and the Bears. The Giants, we'll see. We'll learn a lot about the Giants kind of tonight against the Cowboys, I think. But I just think they're going to lose one like you do. Just this team plays on such razor thin margins that it's hard to see them winning out. 9-6-1 is my call. And I think they get in. I think they get in, and it's a fun first round game. And I'm just going to use the power of wishful thinking and say we're going to Tampa.
Sold.
Sold.
I like Tampa.
It's still not out of the realm of possibility that they could pass the Giants.
Right.
Moving into the fifth seed, which would then put them.
Especially the Giants have a tough last four games now.
Yeah.
If they were fifth seed, they'd still just play the worst division winner, so it doesn't change it. Forget it.
Well, no, if they're the fifth seed, they'd play.
They just play the worst division winner, which is still the teams that we're talking about.
Same group of cities.
Yeah, they're all about the same.
Yeah, they're all right in the same area.
Okay. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
I think that George Calvert was the Lord Baltimore, I believe.
I think so, too. I do think they're the same person.
All right, my history is a little rusty, but while we're talking history, make sure to look up Melody Tidings. Great American, great Marylander. You guys will enjoy reading about him.
Dan, you got a book recommendation? You are reading books?
What I'm reading right now is not really classy, but I just ordered the first of a three-part series of novels about World War I and its effect on the British.
All right.
Restoration, I think it's called. Regeneration. Maybe it's called Regeneration. I don't remember the name. By Pat Barker.
Dude, Twitter has completely ruined my ability to read books. Like, I can only consume bite-sized data now.
Twitter and fatherhood.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have the time.
One too much.
Having a little baby will change your day's events. Folks, thank you very much for listening. We are going to call this very odd, twisting, turning podcast quits. Hope you enjoyed it. Subscribe. Follow Mitch on Twitter. Follow Dan on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. And let us know what you think. Thank you.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.